Blog Talk Radio.
I got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes, hate in my heart, love in my mind. I seen nights full of pain, days are the same. You keep the stage shy, stay be the rain. I search but never find, hurt but never cry. I work and forever try, but I'm cursed, so never mind. And it's worse, but better times seem further and beyond. The top gets higher, the more that I climb. The spot gets smaller, and I get bigger, trying to get in where I fit in. No room for a nigga, but soon for a nigga, it be on, motherfucker. Cause all this bullshit, it made me strong, motherfucker. So I pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, bitch, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah.
Welcome to an August 12th, 2015 edition of Bald vs. Evil, the Detroit Sports Podcast, featuring myself, Jeff Moss. And on the other end of my line from Pittsburgh, Greg Henson. You can find him
what
at Greg.
What is happening, my man? Anything going on today?
Let's see. I don't know. Did anything happen with Hillary and the emails or
Donald Trump? No,
I don't know. Is there anything going on? I've been working all day.
Me too.
All I know is I posted an article about 7:30 this morning, and I had to do some insurance work, and I got done with that and found out that I am the biggest asshole in America. So
what?
There's that.
Is that new?
Yeah, good point. I just used to be the biggest asshole in the Metro Detroit area, so now I've taken on more coverage.
Well, why don't you explain what the article was about? Because there's so many different tentacles on this one. Number one, I shouldn't be associating with you because I'm better than this, just so you know. Did you see
neither of us, both of us are exactly where we're supposed to be because neither of us are better than each other.
Yeah, I want to see, that's the first thing I do when I wake up every morning is I say, let me get the list of people I'm better than out. How ridiculous. But that's how people put you down when they can't get a rise out of somebody else. Well, you're associated with them. Okay. What's your point?
Right. So let me preface this with a couple of things. Because I was told by the people on the DSR that I should have started with a caveat to my article that I'm a Michigan football fan, which, you know, I'm not a big college sports fan, but if I root for anyone, it's the Wolverines. And I have since I was
heard him
kid.
Call you a slappy, and I'm like, that guy's not a Michigan slap.
Right. I do, is my default, I root for Michigan. I hate Ohio
sure.
State. I despise Michigan State because my sister went there, basically for that reason alone, just so I can taunt her. I'm a Michigan fan if I'm going to root for anyone. So let's put that out there. I'm a huge Jim Harbaugh fan. I rooted for the San Francisco 49ers for the last few years only because I liked Harbaugh. I think he's a lunatic, but I love him. So let's get that out of the way, right?
Kind of takes one to know one, right? One lunatic
right.
to know another?
He's an insane person. I'm a lunatic. We're both, you know, not right in the head. And so I've been a 49er fan for the last few years, and I was ecstatic when our reporting, mine, yours, other people, came true, and he became the head coach of the University of Michigan. I have no axe to grind. I am not some Sparty slap dick. I'm not Mike Valente. I have no reason to write anything negative about Jim Harbaugh, okay? But when I get a story that crosses my desk, and I'm talking about my DSR desk, not my insurance appraisal desk.
It's
and
the
I believe
DSR news
it's credible.
Desk.
I believe it's credible. I believe it's newsworthy. I think the public has a right to know something. Just because of my allegiances, I'm not going to shy away from a story. even though there's no personal gain to me other than being called every name in the book by Walmart. No offense to you personally, Greg.
Well, you know what's funny about that is they all call you, they say you're clickbait. Has anyone ever seen an ad on your site?
Yeah, Google ads. Let me. I'm planning on retiring to Hallandale, Florida, on my Google ads.
Did you make 4 cents on this article yet?
Yeah, right. I mean, I wish 1 month of Google ads would pay for 1/10 of my horse racing bets for a given Saturday. Okay, I'm not making anything on the DSR. I do it for my amusement, and if anything, I don't need this aggravation. But I think it's a good story. I think it's an interesting story. I think it's one worth telling. Just like Miguel Cabrera is my favorite baseball player, but when I found out the guy was out of the Townsend picking on fat 12-year-olds and telling him he's going to shoot him, and I had the story first, I posted it. Even though he's my favorite Tiger ever, because I can draw a line between what I like and what I think I should post on the DSR. So that brings us to the last couple days, when I am told this story by someone who attended the U of M Exposure U High School camp in Ann Arbor, run by head coach Jim Harbaugh. And I found out that in his inaugural camp, some things changed from the way things have been run over the last 3 decades and more. This camp, I guess, look at everything I'm being told and everything I'm finding out and all the questions I'm having answered by people, I don't know jack shit about U of M football. I'm the first to admit it. I admitted it during the whole Harbaugh story when we were doing podcasts about that or writing articles. I don't know much. I know what I'm told, and I believe I try to ask the right questions, and I'm not some gullible moron who's being catfished by someone at this camp who had some axe to grind, because I don't believe any of that's true, even though I just got accused of that by Brian Cook at MGO Blog, who, when I'm writing things about Drew Sharp or Mike Valente, or I'm agreeing with his positions on what's going on with the coaching search at U of M or Dave Brandon issues, everything's hunky-dory, but when you turn on a religious figure, when you snap on the Messiah, and you say something out of line, got to cut bait now, Moss. So anyway, here's the story. Supposedly, in the past, the campers are rewarded with something called Air Force football. Are you familiar with this, Greg? You're a little more in the know about this stuff.
I am. It's like it's just
what's Air Force football basically?
I believe if it's still played the way we were, it's Air Force football is the ball is live and you throw it around just trying to get down the field into the end zone. There's no huddles, nothing.
No tackling.
No tackling, nothing like that. You just throw the ball to any teammate. It can be a lateral, it can be forward, it can be backwards. And that's how you play that. It's a very simple game.
Not a real physical game, just some fun and everyone.
Only if
you're
playing with lunatic does it get physical.
Okay. So speaking of lunatics, this year, from what I've been told by adults at the camp, people who were working at the camp, this Air Force football, this fun game, was replaced with something called Peru Ball, which is a creation of Harbaugh, something that he invented when he was down in Peru.
Correct.
On a Catholic mission, because I guess the kids down there are poor, they don't have a lot of equipment, they don't have field goal posts, they don't have, do they even play our football down there? I doubt it.
No, it's just something he does with those kids down there.
Right. So whatever. But this game, and I'm going to read from the articles, because this is coming right from the people I talked to who attended this camp, the adults. Let me give you the explanation of what this is. The goal is to run the ball between two cones in the end zone, no pads with helmets on, 11 on 11. Let's see. This is a very physical game. and this is not fun and games. It's very competitive, and this is, you know, whatever Harbaugh thinks to, is going to toughen these kids up or get them prepared. You know, these are high school kids. They're like 14 to 17 years old. I just got an email from a coach at a well-known high school in the area who said it, an incoming ninth grader was at the camp, and I'm going to get that to that in a minute. So how old can that kid be, 13, 14 years old?
Yep.
I was told by the, you know, sources that were at this camp, they said there were head injuries. I like to call them brain injuries. I don't call them concussions because I'm not, you know, Roger Goodell, and I'm not trying to protect myself from any lawsuits from players who
Right.
are shooting themselves in the stomach. I was told there was a back injury. Most, you know, 95% sure I was told it was a C4 vertebrae injury. I'm told an ambulance had to be called for one dislocated shoulder, and there were several other shoulder injuries that didn't require 911 to be called. This was a hot mess from what I was told, and this never occurred under the previous regime. So I report this saying, I don't think it's right. You know, it's one thing if these kids sign up for scholarships, these 18-year-old to 21-year-old kids, they know what they're buying into, but do these parents know what is occurring when they're sending their kids to this camp? Now, the interesting part of the story is, I guess, it's a four-day camp, is what I'm told. The
mm-hmm.
first 2 days, it was bad weather, so they couldn't play Peru ball. Third day, they play Peru ball, and they have these injuries, these issues, and the adults at the camp are like, what the fuck is going on here? The next day, day four, I guess the parents come and pick up the kids, and they watch, in the past, the Air Force football, the last day. So they watch the kids play, and then they take them home, I guess. Well, they were supposed to play Peru ball on the fourth day in front of these parents. Well, the other adults, not named Jim Harbaugh, were, like, mortified that these kids' parents were going to see this going on the field. And, you know, God forbid there's more injuries. They've got to call another ambulance. They don't want this. So I guess instead of telling Harbaugh that, you know, we might have an issue here with this violence that we haven't had in the past, they said, you know, it's not really fair to have a championship on the fourth day because not all the teams played against each other. What I'm told is they played up to his competitive nature, not the fact that he was potentially involved in some sort of child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So they convince Harbaugh not to have it in front of the parents on the fourth day because it wasn't fair, it wasn't complete round robin, and it wouldn't be a genuine champion, I guess. So instead, Harbaugh, I guess, in front of the parents and the kids, gives a speech instead, and they don't do murder ball or Hunger Games or whatever you want to call this. Now, I've been called every name in the book because I am the personification of soft America, of the wussification of America, the liberalization of America. I was told I must have been breastfed until I was 14 years old on my own website today. And, you know, look, I'm going to be the first to admit, if I had a kid and you've got two sons, I wouldn't let them play football. I'm coming from that background. So am I hypersensitive to this? Maybe I am. But I think it's a story worth telling, Greg.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I've met Jim. I've listened to him at his press conferences. I've heard him questioned. He's definitely a guy who can rub me the wrong way, personally. I don't get him from the sense that everything is very close to the vest. Everything's odd. I feel like everything's meant to throw you off your game. Like you know, someone asks a question and he acts like he has no idea what they're talking about, or he's like staring off into space. It's a weird scene. Personally, I don't give a damn how weird he is if he wins and recruits players who win, because I enjoy watching Michigan win. That being said, how do you describe Peru ball? What is that? Because, you know, what did you compare it to in the article, Smear the Queer?
Well, no, I mean, that's what someone, I didn't say that on the article. Someone on Twitter wrote that it was like.
And what is that? Was that just pummeling guys? Because.
I mean, that's basically someone has the ball, and I believe, I mean, it's been a while. We're in our midlife crisis area of our life right now. It's been probably 30 years since I played that game, so long ago that I guess you were allowed to say queer.
And you were allowed to pound the hell out of your
friends. Someone would get the ball, and everyone would just jump and pile on top of them. And
yeah,
that's what
okay.
Someone on Twitter this morning, this afternoon compared it to.
Well, it's funny that, you know, I think that you might be a little cautious when it comes to football. I would let my play it, just not as young as a lot of people will let their kids play it. When they're a little older and their brains are developed, I don't have a problem with it. This starting these kids at 5 and 6 years old to me is insane. It's hard to believe that this wouldn't be something that happened. Just knowing what Jim's about. Now, I'm not saying it did. I'm totally ignorant. I have no source. No one said anything to me. But would it really surprise you if this happened? I mean, it doesn't to me.
There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind it happened. Okay? I went above and beyond what I normally do when I'm vetting an article on this. I'm not going to go into all the particulars because I knew that, you know, college football is a religion, and with every religion, you're going to have insane people. And I knew taking a shot, even though I'm not trying to come out, I'm not looking to make a name for myself by going after Jim Harbaugh, I'm reporting what occurred, okay? So I knew I was going to get attacked. I went above and beyond. I had I had one of the sources proofread what I was going to post to make sure everything was accurate. That's how far I went before, because, you know, people were saying post it, because I did a tease yesterday on Twitter saying,
right,
I have an article coming that with what I believe is disturbing news about Harbaugh, and I stand by that. I think having this Peru ball, doing this with these kids, 14 to 17 year old kids, I think it's disturbing. That's my own personal belief. I think it's disturbing. Okay, I think Michigan fans went their heads started running a mile a minute, thinking of what this could be. I never said this was the Pentagon Papers. I never said it was Watergate. I said it was disturbing, and I stand by that. Now, listen to this email I just got a few minutes right before we went on the air, Greg. I'm not going to name him because I don't know if he wants his name out there. But this is a head football coach that I can verify at a local high school, and this is the email he sent. One of my incoming.
Is the guy's team a bunch of losers, or are they good?
What's that?
Are they good, or are they a bunch of losers?
I can look that up later. I don't know. I think they might be good. Quote.
I mean, because if they're losers, they're weak, like Brady Hoke, right?
What's that?
Because if they're like Brady Hoke, they're losers and weak.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and that's the other point I made in the article, is that, you know, if this was Hoke and Brandon, this happened, these same people who are crucifying me, because I wrote it about Harbaugh, if this was another, you know, way to get leverage to get rid of either one of them last year, and I wrote this, they would all be deifying me. Like, I was C-3PO in this end of Return of the Jedi and telling the story to the Ewoks. They would have loved this if it was about Brandon and Hoke or another set of people. A few years ago, I wrote this about Rich Rod. It's all coming from their undying love for Harbaugh. They are so desperate for Harbaugh to change the program around so they stop being the gimp to Michigan State and Ohio State that you cannot say anything negative about this guy in the least. And this really isn't even directly related to the U of M program because this wasn't even done to his student athletes. These are high school kids at a freaking camp. So this was no article I was posting thinking Jim Harbaugh was going to get fired or there's going to be any huge negative ramifications. I posted this article, so you know what? If you Google Exposure U next February or March, and you're thinking of signing your kid up, you know what's involved here. You know what's going on, that they're playing this version of murder ball. That's what someone, you said they used to call it before Harbaugh called it Peru ball. I think parents should know that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with posting it. But let me say here.
They would still send their kid, though. Because don't think those parents, would still send their kid. Don't think those parents don't want them under the tutelage of Jim.
You might be right, but
I'm serious. I think parents of those athletes, by and large, are just as nutty.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I can't disagree with that.
But the most egregious, mistake in the article, which I can't forgive this piece of the article. Caretaker didn't die in a fight. His radio exploded. You messed that up.
You think I actually saw the sequel to that remake?
You know what's funny?
Crap.
I actually had to go back and look it up and make sure.
Since Happy Gilmore.
I had to go back and look it up to make sure I was right before I said anything.
Oh, don't worry. Tons of people already told me that's not the – like, I really thought that's the way Chris Rock's character died. By
no, it was a light bulb. It was a light bulb that exploded in the original, and then Chris Rock's radio exploded in the second one.
All right.
Just for
the
record.
Now?
I mean, that was so egregious.
Can I get to the email?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Okay. One of my incoming ninth graders went to the exposure camp. He confirmed they played Peru ball and there were many injuries in the game. He pulled his hamstring playing it. You are right, it happened. He also said the camp was chaotic and not well organized, and many people there working or this is kind of broken English, they're working or may have never coached football. So that's from a head coach of a high school football team. I guess that person is a Sparty or a Buckeye with an axe to grind too.
Well, you never know, but I doubt it. But a lot of these, there's a lot of coaches who don't like Harbaugh already. So, I mean, who knows what's out there? And
right.
You know, you got to if one or two guys said it, then it probably happened. It's just not that big a deal.
Yeah. So the other part of the article that I wrote that got scrutinized and people ripped me a new asshole was that I said that I've been told by three various sources, three different occasions based on three different stories, that they believe that I didn't make the comment, that these people said that Harbaugh must be on the autism spectrum because has some disconnect. There's some disconnect. This is not me saying it. This is people in the Michigan football department, people coming, coming out of this camp. Like I said, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not diagnosing anyone. I'm just reporting what people are telling me about this, and I thought that was also newsworthy. And if you watch that, and what you said, the way he answers questions, that whole Cowherd interview, if you don't think there's something going on there more than just the average Jim Harbaugh wanting to be a prick, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I can't figure him out. I got to be honest. When I first met him, I walked away thinking, "Whoa, that guy's weird." I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's fake. I mean, do you think this is fake, or do you think this is really
no,
who he is?
I don't think it's fake at all. I mean, I've only had one interaction with him myself, and this was years ago. He might even been still playing football. I don't know if he was coaching. Where did he coach before Stanford? Like somewhere down in
San Diego.
San Diego, whatever it was. Yeah, mm-hmm. It might have been then. He used to host that charity event, the Michigan Theater, every year, like a golf tournament. And so I met him there for a little while. The reason I met him is hopefully the statute of limitations are up. But Jim and I had the same person who was selling illegal satellite cards for DirecTV. That's how I met him.
Okay.
We both had the same hookup for free, what was it, Splice Channel, free pay-per-view.
I have no idea.
So that's how I met him. And I only had very limited experience. And
was he weird then?
He was odd. I mean, this is way before he was ever going to be the coach of U of M. Or way before, he was even the coach of Stanford or anything. I just thought he was a little odd, but whatever. I mean, he had a head in a million places. He was trying to run that charity event, but,
my first thought was I was expecting something wildly different when I first met him and heard him talk.
Right.
What's that?
And no, neither of us are saying anything that we don't believe.
No, I think he's going to win big. I'm thrilled he's at Michigan.
I don't give two craps
about your stupid article, to be honest with you. And I would probably be one of those nut parents who'd send my kid to play for him.
Really?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I guess here's my thought, okay? I guess when you play football at that level and you're at camps like that with elite athletes, I think a lot of people assume injuries will happen. But I'm saying that, Jeff, in the context of I can't in my head see what Murder Bowl looks like other than just a bunch of guys piling on each other. Is that what it is?
That's what it seems to be, and they're not wearing pads. And,
right.
You know, I've got another person stating that there were multiple injuries. This is not, like I said to Brian Cook on when we said a little Twitter dispute, I didn't make this article up out of whole cloth. How could I possibly, come up with this?
Right.
It's not in my wheelhouse. I don't talk about, I haven't written an article about Michigan football or Harbaugh since before he got hired. I was done, whatever information you got, I got, I posted. I'm not looking for clickbait. When he takes his shirt off, I don't go run and post an article on my website to get 5,000 to 10,000 hits.
Right.
When he goes and saves someone on 99.94 in a car, that's not me running on there, I got to go post an article about Harbaugh. Now, I haven't written anything about Harbaugh since before he got hired.
I know.
I don't care, but this is newsworthy. It happened, and
right.
I want to make sure it doesn't happen again next year. And I don't think there's any chance in hell now that this has been disseminated and people in the university have read it, there's any chance at any Michigan-sponsored camp for high school kids that they will ever play Peru ball again unless it's some sort of mutation that's not as violent as what they played supposedly, allegedly, in June of this year.
Well, you've always been a great champion of the teenage male, so I take my hats off.
Look, there's no bigger champion of the prepubescent than Jif Smith.
It's to me, man. If Twitter didn't exist, this just wouldn't be that big a deal. Twitter's an echo chamber. You have literally, I had to block 3 people who just were so irrational about it that I didn't want to talk to them anymore. I'm telling you, this article is informational, but it's far from a bombshell. But, I mean, you have so many. And then I love the childish responses. As Michigan fans, we've spent so much bad news over the last 7 years. I'm thinking to myself, well, number one, most of that bad news was Lloyd Carr's fault. Because he was
right.
The one who ran to the Free Press about practice gate. And I'm thinking to myself, listen to you, man. You're an adult, and you're whining that somebody might have said something about your head coach. It's embarrassing. The reaction is embarrassing.
I wasn't trying to get the guy fired.
I agree. It has nothing to do with his team.
No. It was his behavior and, a warning sign that, keep an eye on what this guy is doing because I'm not sure, he has the judgment to not hurt somebody,
and I agree.
At this point. He seems a little, out of control. And the fact that the other adults at this camp, whoever they were, who were telling him, they shouldn't do it on day 4. The fact that they had to come up with a BS story and couldn't just tell them, hey, look, this is going to look really bad in front of the parents if some kid gets, a concussion or a brain injury.
Right.
So they had to come up with this other alternative story to convince them because they didn't think pleading on, or taking the position that this is not good for the kid's health would work.
And I will say, having known you, disagreed with you, hated you, liked you, worked with you, the one thing I do know is you don't make stories up. When people say he's making this up, it's a hit piece, I'm like, no, that's not true. I know he didn't do that. And I said, if he ever made up a story, go point to it on his website, show it to me. And no one could. So, I mean, they could say what they were. And then they go through the machinations of, you know, they go to the message boards. Who's Jeff Moss? Well, they knew who you were when you were working the Harbaugh story, didn't they, about him coming to Michigan?
Yeah, they loved me then, or at least they tolerated me, but now
right.
I'm a pariah. Spiro's on the line. Let's see if he's got any questions or any comments about
it. Oh,
that
Sparty will love this article.
Yeah, right. He's a huge Harbaugh fan.
I know.
Spiro?
Can you guys hear me?
You're the only guy who ever calls this show.
I'm surprised. I was just listening in the background, cleaning my office out, and I didn't think I'd be put on the line this early, but how you guys doing?
Wait, you got a new job?
No, my office and my apartment in Chicago, we're moving out in about 6 weeks. I got to start boxing some shit up.
You going back to the Motor City or you staying in Chicago?
Motor City, my friend. Moving back.
You're really, you're really going home?
Rochester Hills or Motor City now?
Very jealous. Have a good time, man.
Thanks. So when is my co-host Jasper getting added to this fray here? That's what I want to know.
Well, we'll add him in a little while. But you might have some prescient comments about what happened today with this Harbaugh story.
Well, you know, I was planning on sharing those with Jasper in the rap show, but I'm happy to share them now. I mean, frankly, I think you guys are pretty much spot on. And for the record, yes, I went to Michigan State. I'm a huge Michigan State fan. But I'm also a huge Jim Harbaugh fan, and I've been a Harbaugh fan for years. I loved him at Stanford, loved him in the NFL. I think he's one of the top three or four coaches in football at any level. So I'm far from a Harbaugh hater. I will say that I think Greg put it best, that this is not a bombshell. I don't think it qualifies as a bombshell. I don't think you advertise it as a bombshell.
No.
It's something that you said was a disturbing piece of information that came across your desk and that you were going to be discussing it in an article, and I think that's exactly what happened. And I think when you look at the multitude of sourcing that you had done, and frankly just the believability of the story to begin with, I think there's enough there to say if anyone has an issue with what you did or the article you wrote, they're basically saying that they have an issue with someone saying they don't like high school kids being unnecessarily exposed to injury, including brain injuries. I mean, this is not that complex of an issue. There's no hidden agenda here. I mean, you're so indifferent to college sports.
And I'll agree with that. I've always asked him about it, and he's like, I don't care.
Well, he doesn't. He can't. He won't even discuss it casually in conversation. He has no interest. If you want to talk Michigan State football at the bar, Moss checks out. He won't even participate. He wants nothing to do with the conversation.
About this crappy baseball team.
Hey,
right.
Greg, ask me a question
very...
about Michigan football. I want to see if I can answer anything. Just the current team. Ask me any question about the current team.
Who's the quarterback at Michigan State?
Cook.
What's his first name?
Connor.
Okay, you did. Who's the running back?
Well, no, ask me about. I mean, come on, my wife might even know that one. I mean, ask me anything with like a 2.4 degree of difficulty.
All right. I don't know. I just trust me. Jeff doesn't care about college football.
I couldn't name anyone on the team probably other than Morris and Peppers. And I probably would butcher Pepper's first name if I tried to pronounce it. Is it Jabril or
Jabril, yeah. The funny part is I used to be a huge NFL fan, but I'm the same way. I don't even care. So it's like if you ever see me trashing the Lions, just know that I've given up anyway. Just like Jeff doesn't care about college. I mean, do you even watch it?
Do I?
Like, will you turn it on a Saturday if you've got nothing going?
Yeah, I'll watch Michigan and Michigan State, but the sound won't be on. I'll be betting on horses, and I'll be half paying attention.
Are those horse trainers beating the hell out of those horses still?
Some are.
This whole notion that Moss is sitting there with an axe to grind for Michigan is so funny. Anyone that knows Moss knows they couldn't be further from the truth.
You see these guys go to their old standbys. That's the problem. Who's Jeff Moss? He's a Spartan fan. I mean, it was also predictable from a very small group of turds out there. I just sat and watched it roll in because whenever someone criticizes realizes anything about Michigan, and Michigan State's the same way, they go to the same old tired crap. They don't go with the logic.
You know, Michigan is the closest university to us with the biggest fan base, but and I'm a little unfair because I do attack that fan base more than others because it's what I'm familiar with. But if I wrote something similar about Saban in Alabama, I'm sure a bunch of toothless morons would be attacking me if they had access to the internet down there.
And Michigan fans would be saying,
"Great work!"
I'm
sure the same thing would happen to Ohio State. What's that?
I said, and Michigan fans would be screaming, "Great work!"
Well, you know, I don't think it's a Michigan fan issue. I think what you see it's a fan of major college football program issue. I mean, that's what it is. I don't think if you were ripping on the head coach of Akron that you would be the type of uproar. But when you go after the head coach, and I don't think you went after him, but if you say anything that's perceived as a slight against the head coach of Ohio State or Florida or Michigan, certainly, this is the type of blowback you get. And I think the fans of these traditional powers are particularly bad. All fans are bad, but I really don't think this is a look at how bad the Michigan fans are. I think it can be really said that it's just look how bad college football fans are. I mean,
I think Jeff needs to post the same article a year from now and take Harbaugh's name out and put in Urban Meyer or Mark D'Antonio and just see what the response is.
I don't even think you need to do that. Just look at his
do it next Friday.
When we were before we did our little April Fool's prank, we were with Max Bulla. We were just inquiring the Joe Rexroad, Graham Couch, other Michigan State writers. How do you not have this Max Bulla story? That like, there's got to be something here. How do you guys not have this after 2 years? And the response from Michigan State fans wasn't curiosity or affirmation of our curiosity. It was leave them alone. The past.
It's true.
What do you care?
That's a great point. We're not curious about what happened.
Our captain is not playing
in the Rose Bowl.
The guy is one of the best Michigan State defensive players in history. Was the captain of the team, the middle linebacker. He was a legacy third-generation Spartan. He's got a brother there starting right now. This is a major, major Michigan State star, and he gets suspended under conspicuous circumstances. We don't understand why, and no one seems to really try. And Moss and I were getting crushed by Michigan State fans on Twitter, and people were calling us anti-Spartan. Moss and I'm the biggest Spartan slap on earth.
Oh, babe, that's hilarious. So my favorite line, though, is when you said, there's no curiosity.
No, there's no curiosity. It's just no one cares. And so that's why I'm not going to make this a, you know, because this is what a lot of Michigan State fans are going to do in this context. They're going to say, look at the crazy Michigan fans, and they're in denial. And this is a college football fan issue. That's Moss said it best. College football, especially in a major program, is religion. So I don't think it's exclusive to Michigan. Are the Michigan fans dealing with this bad? Yes, but I don't think they're exclusively bad any more so than most fan bases are.
No, but there's that. We are just dealing with that element from the Michigan fan base. I mean, there is a small element of degenerates who just really get off on watching, you know, teenage and young 20-year-old men play football. And I love college football, but I think that they act just weird. It's just weird and many times just scarily immature, man.
My timeline's hilarious because it's just like 250 tweets in a row calling me every name in the book, telling me I'm a hack, telling me I'm a douchebag, and then you click on every single picture or background, and it's either you have a picture of Harbaugh,
M goes something,
Jim is in the person's Twitter name, or the big house
to the victors
in the background. What's that?
They all, like, say mantras. Hail to the victors.
Yeah.
Pound hail. Those who stay.
Yeah. Every single one, and I'm clicking down the line. Well, here's a lot of unbiased commentary on the old twat box. And, you know, I don't care about any of that. I love being the wrestling heel. I'm not trying to go out of my way to be an asshole in this particular situation. I just was reporting, you know, what I found out, but I didn't care about any of the posts. There's 50 negative posts on under the article on the website. There's hundreds of negative posts on MGO blog, and then on Twitter is a whole other matter. The only thing that pissed me off was Brian Cook, who I have respect for, coming after me, you know, and saying, oh, this is a story about guys getting burnt knees. No, and it's not a story about guys getting burnt
knees. It's a C4 vertebrae.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, didn't somebody leave there in a neck brace?
It's guys who have back injuries. It's ambulances being called. It's brain injuries. It's, you know, that's what this is about. Not, you know, when I wrote what happened with the injuries, I slowly built up from bloody noses and burnt knees to the vertebrae injury. And
they missed that.
I'm getting all these people saying, well, how can you get a bloody nose if you're wearing a helmet? You're saying they're wearing helmets.
Ever watch The Longest Yard?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, nobody's ever gotten a bloody nose playing football because I forgot those helmets are like biodomes, and nothing can happen inside of those helmets.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
Unreal.
Every old football player. You ever see Dick Butkus with those big cuts across the front of his nose? He had a full cage on. I mean, you get players with cuts on the – that's what – you know what happens there? That's when your mask gets pushed back into your face.
Do you want to talk about anything else? You want to talk about the Victor Martinez comments the other day real quick?
Yeah, I do, but did anyone call to talk to you, or are they all pushed out?
I don't know. There's someone on the line, but it could be. I didn't really give them the number either. I'm not going to.
I tweeted. Let's pick this guy up, because I'm curious to see if any of these Twitter terrorists want to talk to you.
All right, okay, let's see here.
Now,
the
Jasper
number
is on line right now.
The
it's
number
Jasper.
To call in is – it is Jasper on that line. The number to call in is 646-716-4492. We won't screen you. We'll just put you right on. Henson, you could tweet that out if you want.
I already did. They're all running for cover, man.
Do you want to talk about the Victor Martinez until see if anyone calls? His comments the other day? Did you see those?
Oh, yeah. It's more of the same. Yeah, go ahead and mention them. Read them for us. But, I mean, it's the same old crap we've heard from players before. You didn't play, you can't talk.
Yeah. In the midst of this awful season, Victor Martinez, he of his .8 negative war. So
all right, my favorite player, so let's not crush him too much.
He's not even he's having a horrible season.
He's hurt.
I agree, he's hurt. He's got a bad knee, but, you know, I don't think that's on the check memo every 2 weeks when he's collecting his $15 million a year or whatever it is.
The memo line.
So he comes out and says it's been frustrating and that you guys can't comment if you've never played the game. Like,
oh, dear Lord.
2015, when are we going to stop hearing the you can't talk unless you played Major League Baseball, which, what, limits that to how many people in the history of the world?
Well, I could make a case that his boss in the dugout never played Major League Baseball.
I wonder if Victor Martinez ever complained about a bad meal at a restaurant. Like, should he really be able to complain about his bad meal? Has he ever been a chef?
I mean, exactly.
It's like saying you can't criticize Barack Obama or whoever the sitting president is because you've never been a president before. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. That stance has never made any sense. There's a lot of things that people don't do that they can comment on. I'm not a movie star. I think Justin Timberlake sucks at acting. I mean, you know, am I not allowed to have that take? It's such a bad way to go.
It really is bad form.
It's such an old, tired bit.
I know. I mean, especially in the day and age where you're seeing coaches and players who never did play the game. I mean, you see it in baseball all the time. I don't know about baseball. I mean, like, you know, guys like Charlie Weiss. I mean, they got to major colleges and beyond having never done anything. And I mean, there's a woman coaching in Phoenix who's never played, you know, major in the NFL either. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then the other Tiger news was that they promoted David Littlefield.
Who is this guy? Because I saw you tweeting like a maniac about him.
Yeah. So, well, you should open up the phone lines in Pittsburgh. He's the Matt Millen, Randy Smith of Pittsburgh. He was the general manager of the Pirates.
Okay.
When they were horrid. just open the lines one day and say, give me your best David Littlefield stories.
Oh, dear God.
I was talked off the ledge by someone that I respect in the Detroit baseball writing circles. So
wait, there's someone you respect?
On that one. Yeah, you can do the math on who that person is, since there's
only
one.
Okay, so Tony Baltar, Jeff DeLedge.
I am not confirming or denying it was Tony Paul.
Why? You don't want the news to know you talked to him?
Well, I don't know who you're talking. I'm not even familiar with this person. Who you're?
A writer for the Free Press Gay Guy. You might have heard of him.
I think it's the news, but I.
Oh, whatever. What did I say?
You said Free Press.
Tony Paul's a great
anyway,
guy. Why are you afraid? Why are you
Tony
afraid
Paul's
of him?
A
Listen,
straight
I don't,
writer.
I'm not confirming or denying with him, but he said that this is not a big title. That basically this is the person who hires minor league managers, and we shouldn't worry. But so I just type in David.
It's a big hire in Toledo.
I type in David Littlefield bad in Google, and up pops an article from Jonah Carey from like 2008 or 9, where he lists the 10 worst general managers in the history of sports. And Littlefield was like number 6. Like, I think Randy Smith was number 5, and Millen was number 1. And
dear God.
Jonah Carey bombed the guy unmercifully, saying, I think he compared him to leprosy or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And if you know Jonah Carey, he's been on the DSR podcast.
Yeah.
Justin, is there anyone in the world nicer than Jonah Carey?
No, he's pretty vanilla.
He's about the nicest person. He's comparing Littlefield to leprosy. And I just thought it was hilarious that they promoted this guy to the vice president of player development.
That's hilarious. I don't know anything about this guy.
But I'm being told that it doesn't matter, and I'm being told that I should trust Al Avila. He promoted Sam Menzin, who is the sabermetric person in the clubhouse, and I'm being told just to calm down and to relax.
Is that
so
possible?
That's what I'm doing. I'm not going to go on.
That's bullshit.
Crazy
you can't calm down.
I am. I'm calm. Calm.
Well, you know, the season, the best part about it is the season is just done, so you don't even have to really work your blood pressure up anymore this year.
Oh, it's done.
I'm cool with it. I'm very serene about the death of the Tigers.
Spiro's
it just doesn't matter.
Spiro is going to Chicago next week to see the Tigers play at Wrigley Field.
Well, that'll be embarrassing.
I don't know. I
might score
a Cubs fan.
You're becoming
you're
a Cubs fan?
I might be going as a Cubs fan, although it won't make much sense if I have my Fire Osmus sign in the front row behind the Tigers dugout.
Oh, you're going to do that? What if Miggy takes it?
I'm debating it, but I have the ticket. I have a front row seat right behind the Tigers dugout at Wrigley Field.
How much did that
cost you? I'm not going to say. I have that same exact seat for Tuesday and Wednesday's ball games.
Were the tickets more or less than Dennis Rodman's Burger King bill?
pretty comparable, actually.
Well, you had to take him to BK, dude?
What's up?
You had to take Rodman to BK?
Yeah, he got in really late and got dropped off by the Metro car and told me, fucking hungry, food. He kind of just grunts. So I told him, you know, it's Bloomfield Hills. It's, Saturday night, but pretty much everything's
closed. Did you take him to the one on Woodward or on Telegraph?
It's on, Telegraph and is it Maple, I think?
Yeah, Longwood, right?
Telegraph and Maple.
Maple, yeah, I'm into that one.
Yeah, I took him. It's like the really nice one.
Yeah.
And so we end up going to Burger King, and it's, you know, from the Kingsley there on Long Lake and Woodward, it's maybe a 15-minute drive. There's a lot of whites. That's really the problem. And so he starts bitching halfway through, fucking far. So I got his handler in the back seat saying, hey, we got to get there fast. I don't know what I'm not going to go 100 on Telegraph. It's a speed trap as it is.
With a black man in your car.
Yeah, Rodman,
with earring loops in his nose.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'd get the DWB with him in your car.
Yeah,
it's funny because
a guy who's on a watch list, a terrorist watch list for going to North Korea.
did you ask him Kim Jong-un.
By the way, this is one of my favorite stories of all time. So proceed, Spiro.
Yeah, so we find he's grunting the whole time, and his version, Dennis Rodman's version of a sigh, and most people are like just, he goes, so he's kind of grunt sighing, and so we finally get there, and we pull up to the window. There's no one else in line. We get there. I ask him, hey, do you want me to order for you, or do you just want to lean over? He leans over. He's yelling into the kind of grunting into the speaker. He wants a number one and a number six or whatever, a chicken sandwich and a standard Whopper meal, two Cokes, whatever, the large size. So he orders two meals, right? So, and he goes, I don't want anything. So the guy in the back seat, I end up pulling up a little bit so he can lean over out his window and give his order. So his handler gives his order just like a normal human being. He orders one value meal. So I'm about to, he's done. We get the total. I'm about to pull up. Rodman grabs my arm and says, no, wait. Number eight. So I say, okay, do you want a number eight to substitute the one or the six? He goes, no. Get it. So I go, excuse me, sorry, I need to adjust the order. So I say, okay, I need a number eight, two, large size. I say, do you want a Coke, too? He goes, Coke, yeah. Okay, another Coke. So now we're up to three value meals, okay? So we get the total again. We pull up to the window. I pay. We are handed the first part of the order. There were a couple bags, and he goes, nuggets. They got nuggets here. Nuggets. So nuggets is the number nine.
I like that he speaks in one word answers. Just one nuggets. Value meal.
Well, it's funny because drive I was asking him about Carmen Electra, and if he liked being with Carmen Electra, he just goes, freak. Freak in the sheets kind of thing. So, freak. So, yeah, he's kind of, got the caveman thing going on a little bit. So, we start to get handed the food. He leans over again. He's trying to get chicken nuggets now. So, I say, okay, do you want us to, cancel one of these other things? He goes, no, I want the chicken nuggets. So, now we're up to four value meals, four Cokes, just for him. And so, he takes them all, and we're about to leave again. And we're already past the window, about to pull out of the parking lot. And he makes me reverse because he wants a large cherry icy. So he made four separate additions to his order at four separate points in that drive-thru experience. So we pull out of there. He's got four.
What was the total?
Oh, I don't. It was like $58 or something.
Oh my God!
For two guys eating, whatever it was, 54, it was something like that. For two guys, yeah, I wasn't even having anything. For two guys.
Can you imagine if his flight wasn't delayed and you had to take him to, someplace like Fleming's or something in Birmingham? He'd have ordered four steaks.
Well, yeah, that was the original. I should have told that part of the story. His flight was delayed. I was taking him out to dinner in Birmingham at the restaurant, the Townsend. And so we had a reservation and everything. We had to cancel because his flight was delayed. He had a connecting flight, which wasn't – there's no direct flight from his location. We had dinner plans actually that went awry. Thank God, for what we paid for Burger King, you could get a good plate at Ruth's Chris. So, that was a pretty good story. So he's balanced. He's got – story's not even done yet. He's got multiple drinks in his lap. He puts, there's two little cup holders in the back, and he just hands to his handler to handle two of the Coke, crushes this food piece by piece. And what does he do when he's done with each wrapper? He doesn't neatly put it in the bag or even at his feet to be taken care of later. When he's done with the first burger, bundles up the wrapper and throws it in the back seat, almost takes the guy in the head behind him, his handler.
I thought you were going to say threw it out the window.
He didn't throw it out the window, but I think I would have preferred that versus literally to my car. But he's got his handle in the back seat, and every time he finishes a wrapper, he's just throwing it over his shoulder in the back seat.
What the hell, man?
So he takes a bite of it and just, I think it's his version of good.
God, man, but, what a caveman.
He was.
Meanwhile, the next day he shows up to be our surprise member of the DSR Fantasy League, and he said more in that Burger King order than he said in the 4 hours that he was sitting.
he opened up a little bit at the end, but we just weren't privy to those conversations. But I guess he was having a good conversation with Brian Richard Coburn. But
that's funny. But you kind of knew you were going to get into that, didn't you, when you met him?
What's that?
You kind of knew he'd be a bit of a turd, right?
Yeah, I thought his agent, who was not a tanner, his agent was a real stand-up guy, and he told me there's,
yeah,
you know, really...
by the way, his agent, wait a second, his agent who was a stand-up guy, he was on one of those, the two of them were on one of those judge shows.
No, that's the handler, that's not the agent.
Oh, the handler. The handler and him were, if you Google judge show Dennis Rodman handler, the guy who showed up to get him out of bed and bring him to Spiro's dad's house, there's an episode of him on one of those, like, Judge Judy-esque shows where they're suing each other. That's a
small
killer.
Claims.
Small
God. Claims. And how about the fact that Rodman was due to have breakfast Sunday morning before the draft with one of his longtime, like, early Pistons days best friends, and he just canceled it because he didn't want to get out of bed.
Well, that's what happened on The Apprentice with Trump. He never showed up for anything. He was too busy drinking every night. Was he drinking when you had him there?
No, he wasn't drinking. That's what I was going to say. His agent told me there's three different versions of him. There's the one where he's really boisterous and talkative and really engaging if he's in one of his moods. And there's the second one where he's all those things but sort of belligerent because he's been hitting the bottle.
Oh,
and then there's a third one, which we got, where he's just really tired and disengaged. We got the third one. I said I would have gladly taken the drunk crazy rod, and what a story that would have been. But it would have been a mess, but it would have been a funny mess.
Right.
But, we got the real stoic one. And I mean, I had the cloak ready for him. It was a black cloak, not a white one, to do the higher power reveal entrance into the room for the draft. And when I asked him to wear it, he just looks at it, he takes it from my hand, looks down at it, and just goes, not wearing it. It's Klan hood. Called it a Klan hood. It was a black cloak.
It's like a monk robe.
Not wearing this Klan hood. It wasn't even a hood.
That
I mean, it was
a
whole
freaking brilliant.
It was a black cloak. I don't know what he thinks the KKK is rocking these days, but they haven't switched to black cloaks last I checked. So it was. It was great for what it was, which was kind of a train wreck. It was a big difference from Ken Sanko the year before, where we had a guy that could not have been more engaging. And really, honestly, Ken Sanko, other than his 10-minute nap, seemed pleased to be there. He enjoyed the adoration of the fans. And
he's kind of an attention whore, right?
Well, he was into it. I mean, he was running upstairs, grabbing his phone, showing us videos of him getting boxed and, you know, kicked around and showing us videos of home runs. And he was giving me tips on how to make the reveal better and how he was going to come down. And it was his idea for me to cloak him. It wasn't even – originally I wasn't going to ask him to do that. But he goes, yeah, he just walk up to me and pull the hood back. I mean, he was – yeah, Canseco was, like, trying to participate in the reveal and give me tips. Then you have Rodman, who's calling it a Klan hood. And, it's the same quote.
Canseco is basically just telling us everyone he injected steroids into.
Oh, really?
What was the one story he had about Cal Ripken?
Wasn't it something like Cal Ripken's wife had sex with Kevin Costner or something? I can't remember.
Well, that's why the lights went out in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, that's because...
His
streak
was going to end because he was having sex with... She was having sex with Costner, so the lights suddenly went out that night and the game never got played or his streak would have been snapped.
Yeah, because...
Something like that. He seemed to say it definitively.
That is great. If you're the wife of Cal Ripken in the middle of his, like, 20-some-hundred game streak, that is... perfect time to have an affair. You know where the guy exactly is going to be every night for like 23 straight years.
Right, right.
Not like he's ever missing a game. So if you want Costner or Orlando Bloom to come over while he's playing, you know he's not showing up. Never thought of that before. The women have it as easy as the men to cheat when they're married to a pro athlete because they know for like 3 hours a night there's absolutely no way they're getting walked in on.
Never thought of it that way, Jeff.
No, I haven't either.
Obviously,
none of us ever
home early
close to pro athletes. All right, you want to wrap this up and then get to the wrap-up show?
Yeah, let's get Jeff.
What's the wrap-up show?
This Spiro and Jasper Apollonia are going to wrap up what we just talked about for the last hour.
Oh.
It's our version of the Howard Stern wrap-up show.
Okay.
Before we go into that, we don't even have to do anything. We can just leave. But we're going to play Twitter War 2.
Oh, Jesus, these get worse.
Yeah, between Greg and myself. This is only 2.5 minutes. The last one was 6.5 minutes. This was like Hagler versus Hearns. We're throwing haymakers right from the beginning.
Just how it was. I just remember going, how can I nail this guy and piss him off?
That's the problem.
Oh, man, that's
really
funny. What?
Piss me off. That's the problem.
I know, it didn't work. I know.
No, because I'm insane. I'm an insane person, so you really can't upset me.
I know. I found that out.
I'm like the Floyd Mayweather of Twitter wars. You can't knock me out.
Exactly.
So anyway,
don't even try.
In case you didn't hear the first episode, we had professional actor right out of Hollywood, Ian Reed Kessler, who's appeared in things like Justified, Weeds, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and General Hospital. He plays the role of Greg Henson in this two-person play. And speaking of autism, one of our favorite DSR members, Taylor Phillips, who tells us all about his autistic traits, and he's really the person who is our autism expert on the website. He works at a radio station up in Cadillac. He plays the role of me. So I'm going to play that, and then when that's done, Jasper and Jiro will wrap up the show for about 5 minutes. So good talking
all
to
right.
you, Greg. We'll see what
all right.
mess we can get into later in the week.
All right, man. Good one. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Wow, I got unblocked by Greg Henson. What an honor. Not blocked, never blocked anybody. Be a little more transparent. You want to see what I'm writing about your possible return to DFN. Be fucking honest about it. Are you a pathological liar? You blocked both of my accounts, and you just unblocked both tonight. Unreal.
Fool, I blocked your account months ago because you are sick. I'm sitting here watching you now, so you can't be blocked, idiot. I don't care what you write about anything. You need help. You are a psycho. LOL. You are pissed because I won't answer your question. Ha ha, get a shrink.
Dude, you are a dumb fucking retard. I'd laugh if Marty Martin got over on you.
Don't care, psycho.
Remember when you said last night that you never blocked anyone? You fucking fucking pathological liar. Come back to Detroit for $40,000.
Blowock you because you are unstable. Then you followed me with another account. Hashtag get professional help.
Remember when you said you never blocked anyone? Ha ha ha. Coming back to Detroit with your tail between your legs?
I shouldn't be so hard on you. You seriously need help. I will keep it in mind. Hashtag pulling for you. What kind of sick stalker follows with another account?
Hey, Dingleberry. I have a website following Detroit sports media and people desperate to get back into the Detroit media loser.
You are a seriously disturbed guy. So sad. Nope. You followed me Friday, liar. You followed me, not the other way around.
When you blocked me, it banned me from following you, you dumb, bald, racist fuck.
No, you followed me Friday and started asking me questions, psycho stalker.
Go pack up the boys again, you career nothing.
Talking. You were stalking a nobody loser. Get a shrink, you psycho. LOL. Sure wish I sold insurance. Ha ha ha.
Nicole's parents sick of supporting you?
You are a sad little man with no life. Love it. I can see you short little self getting angrier by the second. I love when at Detroit Sports Rag stumps his foot and starts calling me names. High comedy. Louder, little guy. Make up for your stature.
How much capital did Nikki's parents lose on Java Jungle?
LOL. None. It was all mine, stalker. Is a pathetic troll by. Psycho. Just blocked at Detroit Sports Rag. Can't wait until his next screen name. Hashtag stalker.
Well, that was a very good exchange between Jeff Moss and Greg Henson, the second of three Twitter wars. It's incredible that they have somehow reconciled to the point of having a show. Jasper, what did you think of the second interaction there between Mr. Moss and Mr. Henson?
That was beautiful, man. Yeah, that was gorgeous. That's some Shakespearean prose right there.
I think we're working up to the apex, too. I mean, I've heard all three recordings as soon as they were done. First one was pretty tame. It starts to heat up with that second one. The third one is a bloodbath. So I think, I mean, the crowd will really appreciate that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first two have been great. The second one's obviously a step up from the first one. And if you keep this upward trajectory, Henson and Moss might kill each other on air just now, you know, hearing it again.
Given the toxic nature of their, I don't know if you can even call it friendship, maybe just their relationship, do you really see them doing this podcast a year from now, still being buds? I mean, there's something's going to come between them, and it's going to be an all-out war, right? I'm just knowing the nature of these guys.
There's a better chance of me getting a job in the Detroit radio market after doing this podcast than them doing this podcast a year from now. That's the truth.
Well, and the one thing I'll say, and I've been around the DSR pretty much since its origin days of, you know, around 2003, every DSR bit, every DSR show is short-lived. And we've had three different versions of DSR on TV. We've had at least three different versions of the podcast. So, I mean, really, and we've had many different bits that have been retired, not because it was time for them to go, but because they just stopped. So I think we should enjoy it while we can. I think they're doing a nice job. I do know I've made a significant financial offer to the guy who ran the Detroit Sports Drag on TV show for the archives of that program, and I have not received the response. So really, I'm going to record all these podcasts on my phone to treasure them forever.
Well, they're already on iTunes. So, you know, somebody takes them down, they take them down. But I think we're pretty safe. We're up there.
I don't know. I don't trust any DSR bit not disintegrating. I want to talk about this.
That's very true.
I want to talk about this Michigan issue with you. I don't know how much you listen to the podcast that we just did. I jumped in about halfway through. But I assume you agree with me, right? This is not a Michigan fan issue. This is a college football fan issue.
Absolutely. I mean, it's 100%. It's no different than, and, you know, I was glad that you brought up the Rex Road stuff because I remember last year, you know, I bombed him for that. I thought that was just a crap take that he was saying, I can't get anyone on the record. I mean, that's a garbage take right there. I'm sorry. That's like, as a journalist, that's inexcusable. For that, you know, for a story to fall through the cracks because you can't get somebody to go on the record, that's asinine.
I think, you know, we both have the journalism background, you know, with the degrees that we have. And I think it's pretty much journalism 101 that when there's that many people in the public domain that know the truth about what happened, there's no excuse not to get that story.
Well,
for journalism
and
work.
And what I find funny was that, you know, today Brian Mack goes on Twitter and blasts Jeff for not having any anonymous quotes in his story. So, again, it's no different. It's the same thing with every fan base. When you get journalists are more interested in being fans of the program and being liked by players, being liked by coaches, not wanting to ruffle feathers, what you get is guys who are willing to make any excuse to not dig up harmful information. That's what you get, and that's the same thing with, you know, again, so for one guy, it's, well, I can't have anonymous sources in my story. And the other one, it's, well, you didn't have enough anonymous sources in your story. It's the same thing. It's ridiculous. It truly is. And, yeah, and, you know, for the fan base, I look at it like this. I'm a Michigan fan. You know, I lived in Ann Arbor till I was 10 years old. If this is what Harbaugh was doing, it's wrong. He shouldn't have been doing it. It's not okay. Not when you have high school kids of all different ages. You got, you know, like Moss said, there's a kid going into ninth grade, and I'm sure there's juniors there. That's a huge physical difference. From 13 to 17, the leap that you're going to make, you know, getting in a high school weight room, you know, and if a kid did honestly, you know, hurt their disc. When I was in eighth grade, I blew a disc in my back. It was so painful that for 3 months, I couldn't even put on a backpack with nothing on it. I couldn't even put that on my back. It brought me literally to tears. So if that's happening, if kids are getting, you know, if 911's getting called to get kids with multiple shoulder injuries, that's not okay. you know, and it's not a pussification of America issue. It's legitimately a safety issue. You can't have kids of all different sizes and skill levels playing tackle football against each other. If I took a 3-year-old and pile drove him through a steel, you know, through a table, that'd be wrong. It's not an issue of toughness. It's an issue of safety.
I think you're spot on, and I think it's such an old bit from these people that go this way, and it's the same thing with the NFL concussion issue, where you're somehow a wuss if you are advocating any type of safety measure to prevent concussions, as if you have to have multiple concussions. The more concussions you have, the tougher you are and whatnot. I think it's such an asinine take to have, and I think it is obviously biased, and I think Moss is spot on that if this were a Michigan State thing, if this were a positive Michigan spin, they would love it. They would have no problem with the way it was sourced or not sourced. You know, it just depends on the message. And, you know, the point I made earlier, you see this specifically with traditional powers. They're particularly bad. No one's going to get mad about an article trashing the head coach of Akron or Ohio. You just don't see that, but you see that with these major programs. And really, is there a better example of people rallying around the coach and protecting the savior than the Joe Paterno Penn State fiasco? There was a poll in the Penn's poll. You had to have your student email to even register for the poll. 86% of their student base, 86% wanted Joe Paterno to stay on as coach after that whole thing came to light, obviously before he was fired, but the rumors were going around that he would be fired. This big story comes out. Even if your argument is that Joe Paterno didn't know but should have known and he was just too old, which, by the way, that was off the defense. He's 86. He doesn't understand child rape. That's fine. Even if that's your argument, he still needs to go. 86% of those sycophant fans and their students wanted him to stay on as coach, even though it was obvious he was in over his head at best and complicit in the cover-up of child rape at worst. So this is really, obviously, I'm not comparing this football camp to the Penn State rape scandal. Obviously, they're on completely different scales, and I don't mean to imply that they're similar in scale at all. But where there is a similarity is when there's any perceived slight or attack or criticism of these deified head coach figures, the fan bases of these programs just go absolutely insane, and all logic goes out the window. And really, these people doing it's such a litmus test for your intelligence as a fan. And I think Brian Cook, for example, is a really sharp guy, probably has a higher IQ than I do, and that's fine. But I think he failed in this experiment of his intelligence, this test intelligence, by going the route of this is much ado about nothing. You're talking about guys having rug burns and things of that nature. I think an intelligent person generally can understand that this isn't a crisis at the University of Michigan. This isn't some big deal, but it is worth noting, is it not?
Absolutely. And just, you know, to put it out there, I have an IQ of 145, which does technically make me a genius. Not that that really matters, I guess, but I just thought I'd put that out there. The way that I look at it is, look, we're smart guys. College football is a business. The NFL is a business. It's not a game. It's a business designed to make money. So if it was any other business, for example, if a bunch of coal miners were forced to go down in a mine by their owner without helmets, without lights, without any sort of safety gear, and a collapse happened and a couple of them got hurt, not even killed, just hurt, nobody would go, oh, my gosh, well, it's the pussification of America, making these miners wear helmets. They knew what they were getting into. They decided to become miners. It's a similar argument. There's no excuse to put people, regardless of age, regardless of occupation, there's no excuse to put people into danger, physical danger, when they don't have to be. A vertebrae injury, if it's true, and I don't know, I'm going simply by what Moss has said, and I know, you know, you and I both know that he certainly does have connections at the University of Michigan, so I really don't have much reason to disbelieve him. We know that, again, a vertebrae injury is incredibly serious. My back, again, to this day, and I was no good football player. I didn't take a whole lot of other trauma, you know, after that injury. I can't imagine a kid is, you know, 15 years old, and then he's going to college and going to play college football, and he's going to absorb how many hundreds of hits by guys who are 215 pounds at least? And, you know, how's that going to affect him? It's not okay. It is a safety issue. Now, look, I'm not calling for Harbaugh's head. The guy's a hyper-competitive freak, and he, you know, he clearly just wants to – that's what he finds fun. That's what he wants to do. That's okay, but it's not acceptable when you're only dealing with kids with only helmets on, when they're different sizes, different ages. It's just, it's not all right. You can't do that.
I think it just shows a lack of understanding of the issue by him. I think he's innocent in intent, and there wasn't, you know, there's no ill intent here. This isn't him cheating or berating some player.
I truly believe that he thought what he was doing was a good thing for the kid.
That's correct.
He probably was like, this is going to be fun.
Right. He's innocent. He's innocent of mind here. I just think it's something that needs to be addressed up there. You know, Moss has been openly challenging people to wager $500 against him that specific drill will not be in place at future camp. I think that's a bad bet against Moss because I think he's right. I think the proof will be in the pudding. Really, if this is not that big of a deal, why are we not going to see that drill again? Again, that's just a prediction, but my bet is I stand with Moss on that. The Peru drill is probably – Peru ball is probably done at that camp. And I think the fact that it's gone will say a lot about Moss's report and the validity of the concerns that were in it. And you know, I'll say this. Think about this just logistically. You have contact in a drill – at a camp for kids as young as 13, 14 years old, contact that is forbidden in the National Football League's collective bargaining agreement. Contact, that drill cannot be done in an NFL training camp or practice because it violates the CBA. Why, and there's a reason for that, why are we letting teenagers in high school conduct a drill that is not allowed for professional football players that are grown men in their 20s and 30s? Say it out loud and tell me if that makes sense.
Sure. No, and there is a reason. The reason is because for as horrible as the CBA and the NFLPA is to the players and how bad that, you know, how poorly they get just treated, in all honesty, they still have more rights when it comes to playing football and you know, getting treatment and stuff like that and making sure that they're being looked after. They have more rights than teenagers do, than the high schoolers, than the college players do. That's just a fact. They have somebody looking out for them. Those kids don't. And that's why, again, as a Michigan fan, I think it's a good thing that Moss is coming out with saying this, because if it is true, it needs to stop. And I don't really think it's, you know, much more than that. It's just, don't keep doing this. And especially to the fans who are either A, saying that it didn't happen, well, they don't know anything. They know less than Moss, so that's ridiculous. And second off, the fans who are saying, oh, even if it's true, I don't care. That's the bigger issue for me almost on a certain level, because I know this drill won't be there next year. It won't. But the fans will be.
And I think it was a worthy article to write, despite the criticism, and I'm interested to see how this shakes out going forward. I know we have to wrap it up right now, so I'll just say thank you guys for listening. Thanks, Jasper, for joining me with this little DSR podcast, Bald vs. Evil wrap-up show. It was good.
My pleasure,
Let's
dog.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, by the way, was Henson, like, slowly masturbating throughout the entire thing? Because I could hear him breathing heavily for, like, the entire time. Let's get that fixed. How about that?
Yeah, I think that'll be a good step. I mean, he had a little bit of a Darth Vader thing going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll get to work on those technical difficulties of Henson's exhales as soon as we can. So thank you all for listening to the DSR Bald vs. Evil podcast wrap-up show. Jasper Apollonia, Justin Spiro, happy to report to you as always. We love you guys. Jasper, I love you so much.
I love you too, baby.
Bye, friends.
See ya.